Good morning, church. A blessed Chinese New Year to our Chinese brothers and sisters, and a happy holiday for the rest who is taking a rest. And Gong Hei Fa Choi. I think from very young, I was taught as Christians, we cannot Gong Hei Fa Choi each other. I don't know how where that this concept came from. But actually, the Bible tells us, you know, that God give us prosperity and success, and that is what Gong Hei Fa Choi is all about. Normally, when we think of Gong Hei Fa Choi, is going to Genting, you know, buy 4 digit, or gambling at home. But Fa Choi or blessedness, it can be prosperity, long life, good health. Those are also blessings from the Lord. You know, I was given this passage to talk about the widow and the judge on the 6th day of the Chinese New Year, which I felt was a little bit odd. You know, if I had a free topic, I would have taken the prosperity passage, which is just now which I used, from Joshua, you know, chapter 1, if you have your Bible, turn to it. I always like this passage. It talks about prosperity and successful. From verse 6, it says, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give to them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, and you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." Then you will be prosperous and successful. You see, God wants us to be prosperous, to be successful. When we obey His laws, when we meditate on it day and night, when we keep God's laws and do what God wants us to do, God will prosper us in every way, not just materially, but also in our good health, in the spiritual health, spiritual success, and in everything that we do. And of course, coming to this morning's topic, it is talking about prayer. And when we keep praying to God, you know, asking God for things, knocking on the throne of grace, God will continue to bless us if we spend more time in prayer. Let's commit this time to God. Father, indeed, we want to thank you for your many blessings in our lives and in this church and in our nation. We thank you indeed, Lord, although we have not been faithful, you have always been faithful to us. And we thank you, Lord, for all the rich blessings you have poured upon our life. We thank you, Lord, for this morning you have brought the brothers and sisters, although in a busy Chinese New Year, still they come to worship you. Lord, we know that you look upon that as they're honoring you and glorifying you. For the rest of the time, Father, we pray that you speak to us through your word so that we can continue to pray, continue to have our presence, continue to have an intimate time with you. We pray and give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Dr. Billy Graham was once asked, you know, on national TV. He says, "Dr. Billy, you know, you have spent your life, all this life, touching lives and have been so successful. What one of the most influential men in the world. You know, how would you live your life again if given another chance? What would you do better? What would you think you will do better?" He says only 3 things. "I will spend more time reading God's word. I will pray more, and I will spend more time with the family." Indeed, that is this great man used by God, you know, 100 over years, touching many lives, bringing so many people to the Lord. If he has life to live again, these are the 3 things he will do. Read God's word more, pray more, and spend more time with the family. And I think, you know, last few days, a lot of you did that. Spending more time with our family, people we have not seen for a long time. Yesterday afternoon, I was at the home of a pastor, and we met friends, you know, we have not met for 30 over years. And it was such a joy recalling God's blessing in each of our lives. Although we live in places, different places, serving Him in different capacities, but yet each of us recount how God has blessed us, how God has been faithful, how God has provided for every of our need. And last night when I came here, you know, I met an old friend, Pastor James Lai, who pastors this church some years ago. And it was such a joy, you know, when he came. I didn't know he was sitting in the back when he came and hugged me and said, "Hey, Cocky, how have things been? 30 over years, and God has been so faithful to him." And I asked him, you know, "Have you retired?" "No, no, pastors cannot retire." That was a good word for me, you know. We cannot retire. You know, we keep serving God, whether full-time or part-time. Yes, you see, Pastor Isaac Yim flying all over the place. Yesterday, I told you about my own pastor, you know, which we met after a few years, and he's in his 80s. Also, like, you know, Pastor Isaac Yim flying everywhere to minister. You know, as pastors, we can only retire when the Lord takes us home, you know. And also, this is for Christians too. I met a brother who is going back to Seremban, who will continue to, serve the Orang Asli. Yes, as Christians, there's no retirement, actually. You know, retire from your work, but there's so much ministry, so much work that we can do in church, especially for Christians. You know, don't sit at home and do nothing. You know, like Chinese say, it's true, isn't it? I mean, if every time you go back home and watch the Astro day and night, how many times can you watch the Astro? You know, and then if there's no purpose in your life, there's so many things that we need to do, orphanage that we can go to, you know, senior citizens' home, carries, so many things that we can do, you know. And so sometimes I find some people say, "Nothing to do at home." How can be nothing to do? You know, there's so many things, especially as a Christian. Find something purposeful to do so that, you know, when we see the Lord, we say, "Thou good and faithful servant." Don't just stay at home and do nothing. I remember one lady, you know, that I read, you know, she can't get out of the home, you know. And she told the pastor, what can I do? He says, you know, I'm not very good at speaking, you know. Yeah. He says, pray and ask God to show you what you can do. And suddenly God told him, write to the prisoners. There's so many prisoners all over the U.S. Write to them to encourage them and share the word. And she did that. And she says, so many of them reply and say, "We're so lonely here. Nobody cares about us because we are bad people, you know, and nobody cares about us." And from there onwards, you know, she that was a ministry to her. And because of her ministry, I forgot her name, because of her ministry, you know, so many other encouraged other people to write to those who were at home, lonely people at home. Yes, she can't get out of the house, but yet she, you know, she can write to them and encourage them. And told them, you can, you know, have a second life. You know, you can continue to bless many people. I think all of us have something to do. You know, there's pray and ask God to tell us what we can do so that when we see God, God will say, you know, "You are good and faithful servant." Now, before we go to this passage, let's commit this time to God. Father, indeed, we thank you again, even as we look into your word. You speak to us, Lord, from this passage, the widow and the judge. We pray and give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. My passage is taken from Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8. If you have Bibles, you can turn to it. See, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about man. And there was a widow in the town that kept coming to him with a plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for these chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" One of the writers, when writing about this passage, he says actually there is another There is a twin parable, similar and of the same purpose. Let's look at that too. That is chapter 11. If you look at it, you will see that it is the same meaning, and it talks about the same thing about praying. It says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptations.' Then he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and say, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." Then the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." I tell you, though he will not give up and not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the twin parable that this writer talks about. Talks about first a widow. You know, in the widow in the Jesus time are very poor people. Nobody cares about them. Nobody, you know, can support them. So this poor widow comes to the judge, and this judge is an unjust judge. You know, he doesn't fear about a God or even fear man. And that is the type of judge, you know, sometimes we have, even in, you know, in every country. But because of her persistence, keep bothering him, keep asking him, finally he relents, you know, and do what she wanted him to do, and that is to find justice for whatever case. The case was not mentioned. But the gist of this parable is at the very beginning, Jesus tells us, you know, sometimes Jesus tells a parable and he doesn't tell us why. Sometimes we have to guess. Sometimes scholars try to guess at the end. Or sometimes at the end, he will tell us the reason of his parable. But here at the very beginning, Jesus tells us, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable." Why? To show them that they should always pray and not give up. Always pray and not give up. And that is the reason for the parable. Always pray and not give up. I think as Christians, we have always not prayed enough. Like I told you about Dr. Billy Graham. And even as a pastor, I confess before you, I have not spent enough prayer. I've not spent prayer, you know, enough that I should have spent. We have prayed less, you know, than what we should be praying. And so Jesus tells this parable to tell us that not only we have not spent enough time praying, sometimes we give up. How long have you prayed for your non-Christian parents or your children who have not come to know the Lord, or your siblings or your brothers and sisters or your good friends? How many times you have brought them to the church and, you know, once, twice, and third time, and then you give up on that? But here this morning, the message is continue to pray. Continue to pray. You know, keep asking God. Keep praying to God for whatever it is that, you know, in your mind. As a Christian, you know, prayer actually is the most powerful weapon we can have. And yet Satan knows that. That's why most prayer meetings in all churches are very poorly attended. Very poorly attended. You know, people say if you know want to see how popular the church is, you come on a Sunday service. How popular God is, you know, you come to the prayer meeting and you will know how popular God is. If you look at the prayer meeting, God is not very popular because we don't want to spend a lot of time with God. And so this is a reminder for us this morning. At the beginning of the year, we need to spend as much time as we can, you know, praying for things deep in our heart. In my congregation, there was a sister who has been praying for the husband for 30 years. Every morning, the husband will bring the wife and the children to church, but he doesn't attend. Occasionally, he will come, you know, for festivals, for Christmas, maybe for Chinese New Year like this, for anniversaries. But other than that, he won't come. For 30 years, this sister told me every day she prays that one day the husband will come to the Lord. How many of us will spend 30 years, you know, praying for the soul of our husband or our loved one? But he says 30 years later, something happened to one of the daughters, and through that, the husband came to the Lord. You see, God works in mysterious ways, always in His own time, not our own time. When we pray for something, we want it now. No, God has His own time. Just recently, a pastor, you know, also shared at the wake of his own father. He said, I've been praying for my father for 25 years, you know, and my father is such a bad man, you know, yet I want him to come to know the Lord. But in my mind, I never thought that my father would come to know the Lord. He is so violent, he has a temper, you know, and then he is so foul-mouthed, you know, I never can imagine. But yet, when the father was sick, you know, in a hospital, and through the sharing of brothers and sisters, he came to know the Lord. Last minute, just like the thief on the cross, you know, he was giving another chance, you know, to believe in the Lord. So we don't give up on people we think, you know, will not come to know the Lord. Sometimes we may have friends, we will think that no need to share with him, that he will never come to know. You see, we limit God. No, it's not what we can say or what we can do. God indeed works in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform. And as a pastor, I've seen that wonder so many times, over and over and over again, through testimonies of brothers and sisters who share. You know? And that is what the care group is for. Sharing how God's blessing is difficult for you to come up here to share God's blessing. But in small groups, in care groups, you know, there's a time for people to share about answer prayer. One time I was in a church, you know, and there was a time given to brothers and sisters, you know, to come up and share on a Sunday like this. You know, of course, there was a much smaller church, maybe about 100 of them. You know, and at first, I told them, you know, when I go to an OG church, every time after I speak, there's a time given for brothers and sisters to come up to share about God's blessings, God's answer, their prayers, you know, during that week. And you see 5-6 people coming up to share. And they say, how come a Baptist church don't have that for people to share? You know, how come their God seems to be so much alive and answering prayer? Our Baptist God doesn't seem to be answering prayer. It's not that God doesn't answer our prayer. There's no avenue for people to come and share about God's blessings in His life. And the church opened up, you know, and every Sunday, one or two people come up and share. During the week, they pray, and God answered their prayer. And that encouraged people that God does answer our prayer. And so as we look at this passage again, you know, we look at the first thing he said, you know, God answers our prayer. God answers our prayer. And we need to be persistent, you know, persistent in praying to the Lord. We must always pray and not give up. That is what Jesus said. Meaning, it's not a babbling, you know, repetition of the things thing again and again and again. That God, Jesus spoke against. We should not be like the pagans, continue to speak, say the same thing again and again and again. No. But what he means is always to pray in the spirit of prayer. We must always have the spirit of prayer in us. In anything that we do, we pray. And this writer say it's like, you know, a knight in shining armor, always ready, you know, with all his sword and there, not actually in battle, but always ready. Remember Nehemiah, when he was a cupbearer at King Artaxerxes, he was a non-believer, and he says one day he was looking very sad. And then the king asked, no, why are you sad? What is it that you want? If you look at Nehemiah, he says that, you know, before he answers the king, he says, then I pray to the God of heaven and I answer the king. It was difficult. You know, the king asked you, why are you so sad? You're supposed to be very happily, you know, being my cupbearer. Why are you so sad? But before he did that, he prayed. And God gave him the wisdom to tell him that my people are suffering. Although I'm here enjoying all the facilities of a palace, but my people are suffering. And you see, if you know the story of Nehemiah, you know, this king, a non-believer, gave him everything that he wanted. He go back to his land and built that, you know, and built the wall of Jerusalem. That is Nehemiah. And I remember one story of a pastor, you know, from Reader Digest, I read that. You know, one time he was in his house in the evening. One of his sons was, by, you know, having his bicycle out on the streets, you know. Suddenly there was, you know, there was an accident, they knocked, you know. And then he said, hey, your son, a car knocked him down. And the pastor ran to the son and he said, the first thing I did, there was blood coming out. First thing he did was, God, you know, save my son. That was the first thing he did. You see, instead of, I mean, probably for us, we all call the ambulance, do this and try to help the son to stop the bleeding. But no, he said, I remember, you know, as a Christian, the first thing before we do anything, pray to God. And that is what, you know, Jesus is talking about. Having the spirit, you know, of prayer, always ready to pray. Like Nehemiah, you know, like this pastor whose son was knocked down. You know, so we need to be always having, no matter, you know, prayer is not, sometimes as a Christian, we pray in the morning before we came, right? Today I pray, you know, on the way I pray, you know, and then when we have our food, we pray, and night we pray and give God thanks for a good day, you know. But always in the spirit of prayer is, we say Christianity is a relationship with God. Relationship, you know, doesn't confine to speaking to God only in the morning and night and during food. Relationship is speaking to God all the time as we go along our business. As we see a client, especially difficult clients, if we have a difficult case we need to do, pray about that. That is relationship with God. You know, that is having God inside us, the Holy Spirit inside us. You don't have specific time. You know, what time to pray? Of course, we have a prayer meeting. We know the time. But apart from that, our own life, you know, have the practice of opening, speaking to God, not only during your devotion, not during your quiet time. I remember, you know, a few years ago when I was pastoring Cornerstone Baptist Church for 5 years, you know, I drive up from Malacca on a Tuesday morning, and then I drive back. And during those 2 hours when Allison was not with me, I always pray and talk to God. Talk to God, you know. I mean, it's like having somebody sitting by my side and talking to God. Of course, I keep my eyes open now, you know. When you're driving, you come here. And in fact, I want to make a point here. There's nowhere, correct me if I'm wrong, there's some theologians here. There's nowhere in the Bible that say when you pray, you close your eyes. You try and find out for me? You remember, I think you're going to listen to, you know, the worst prayer. Like that, you know, that sinner, look up to God and say, God, have mercy on me. Looking up to God. Might not got closed eyes and pray, you know. No, Yeah? But of course, close eyes, good. Otherwise, we're looking at everybody who's praying, who's not. I mean, so that we can concentrate. La. It's a good, but there's nowhere in the Bible. If you find it, please let me know so that I can correct myself. Close eyes and pray. It's always looking up to God, you know, asking God for this and for that. And so when you're driving, you can pray to God, talk to God. You know, just like having a friend sitting there. And it builds our relationship together. You know, it brings us closer to God, not only at certain times, not only when we have difficult times. Of course, when we have difficult times, we pray. Last night, as I shared with you, you know, I met my own pastor. He mentioned about our prayer meeting in KL Baptist Church. You know, that time many years ago, you know, almost 30 years ago, we only have about 200 people. And again, the prayer meeting was about 10, 20 people. But at one time, we have 150 people coming to the prayer meeting. The reason why? Because 2 weeks before that, you know, an old man passed away. And 2 weeks later, a brother from our church, a young man, 30 years, had cancer. You know, and the whole church came together and pray for him to have his healing. And now we ask why only the church comes together when there's such a case. You know, why can't, and why are we spending time, we are fasting and praying to God only when we have problems? Why can't we continue to pray to God for things deep in our hearts? And this is, you know, the parable that teaches to continue to pray to God. It says the whole life of a Christian should always be a life of devotion to praying. Not when we when we pray, we always keep asking, you know, God for things. Like I shared with you, this brother's sick, so we want God to heal him. So the whole church came together. But prayer is also praying, giving praise and thanks to God. You know, not just asking, giving thanks and praise to God, you know, for God's mercy. So I shared with you yesterday, we have so 30 over of us, each of us sharing how God has blessed our lives, how God has been providing for us, you know, how God has been faithful to us. The word faithful is so important. Although we are not being faithful to God, although we are not as, we love God as much as we should be, but God is faithful to us. And as we recount our lives, we can give so many blessings of how God has blessed us, our family, the church, our nation. So, you know, a Christian's life should be a life of devotion and, you know, to God and giving Him thanks for all the good things that God has given to us. And also, of course, you know, we should also persevere in prayer. Like this widow, you know, she was actually, you know, troubling this. Look at the passage and see what the judge say. I don't want this lady to continue to bother me. You know, he says that although he feared neither God nor man, you know, I will see that she, you know, yet because this widow keeps bothering me. Not that at the time a widow can only ask the judge to do something when, you know, she bribes the judge. You know, of course, she's a widow. She does not have that means. Or she has some friends who are more powerful, higher up, you know, than the judge to, you know, to help her. She doesn't have. She was just a widow, you know. Nobody to look. So what can she do? Except to keep bothering. And Jesus says that, you know, even for this judge who is so unjust, fearing neither God nor man. And yet, because of the bothering of this widow, he finally, you know, helped her out. And he says, how much more God? God is not like this unjust judge. He's our Heavenly Father. Remember, the Israelites were praying in the land of Egypt. Praying for 400 years, they've been praying, they've been suffering, and they knocked on the doors of God, and finally God sent Moses to help them out. And he said, how much more? Just now, the chapter 11, the passage we were looking at, you know, although you're evil, you know, although you're evil, and yet you give your children the best, how much more our Heavenly Father will give to us, you know, more than we ask for. More than we ever want. True. You know, sometimes we dare not even pray for something we think, you know, that it will be too much from God. You know, we dare not even ask or expect more from God. But God gives us more than we ask for, more than we dare pray for. God gives it to us. I remember one time, you know, I was in Malacca. I've been in Malacca for 20 years, you know. And I have this car, this Wira. And often as I come up for ministry, it breaks down a few times. And, you know, I was saying, you know, and the garage have problem, the auto garage, you know, the gear have problem and all those things. And so I pray to God, God, you know, help me to, you know, so that I can, you know, I can get a better car, you know. And so I talked to one of my friends, you know. I say, you know, brother, you know, I hope you can find me a better car, you know, because one time at the wedding of a very close friend of mine, halfway, the car gone out and I couldn't even attend the wedding of my good friend, you know. And I say, God, you know, I and another time it was a ministry, I have to call the pastor and say, sorry, recently also I was supposed to come up, you know, for ministry on a Sunday morning, and then I have to call and say, yeah, you know, I cannot come because the car broke down, you know. And it happened a few times, and I told this brother, and so this brother said, okay, don't worry, let me take care of it. And then 2 weeks later, you know, he says, Pastor Song, you know, I have a car for you, you know. And he took me to the shop. It was a brand new Wajah. And he gave it to me. I said, no, I just want a better car. No, you know, you are God's servant, you know. You take the car, you know. I kept thanking him. Don't thank me, thank God. You know, God asked me to give you this car so that it's for your ministry. Never in my dream I dare to pray somebody give me a new car. I think none of us dare to pray that, isn't it? But God, you see, this is God's answering prayer more than I dare even to ask or dream about. And many times in my life, God has indeed blessed me with so many blessings. I always tell Alison, say, you know, most of the things that in my room, more than 3/4 are being blessed by other people. The only thing we bought was a piano. You know, God indeed has been, you know, blessing us through brothers and sisters. You know, and we need to come to God to ask for things that we dare not even ask for. And if God knows that, God will give us. You know, keep asking for, keep asking. So persevere in prayer. Of course, you know, there are things that we keep praying and God doesn't seem to answer. Like Paul, you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 9, he keep praying for this thorn in the flesh. We don't know what is it. Some scholars say it could be his eyesight, because, you know, in his writing, he say, I wrote in, you know, in big letters, probably because on the road to Damascus, he saw the bright light, and after that, spoiled his eyes, and he couldn't see very clearly. Nobody actually know what this thorn was. But he didn't want this thorn to disturb him in his ministry. So he pray and pray, and somehow God say, my grace is sufficient for you. You know, you will find strength in your weakness, or in spite of this weakness, in spite of this thorn, he could still continue to serve God. He still continued to serve God. And he tells us that, you know, and we see so many of his, and he stopped praying after that. But for things that we know it is in God's desire, like our parents' salvation, we can keep on praying, like this sister, 30 years praying for the husband, or for our children, you know, or for our siblings, or for the ministry of the church. These are, we know, is in God's desire, is in God's plan. Things that we know we must keep praying, and don't stop. Don't stop even for our health. You know, we can keep asking God to heal us if it's in God's will. You can ask, and it's up to God, finally, you know, to heal or not to heal. You know, as Christians, you know, sometimes as a very conservative Baptist, oh, don't, you know, we can't ask God to heal us, or, you know, it's not true. You know, whatever illness that we may have, we can continue to ask God to heal us. You know, keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking to the Lord. And so we see, you know, and God tells us that don't stop praying for things that in our heart. You may have been praying for a thing for many years, and I'm sure all of us have. You know, there are things that for me, and sometimes we stop praying. We are sort of, oh, God doesn't answer our prayer really, you know. But no, keep praying to God, persisting, knocking on that door of the throne of grace, and God will one day, in His own time, not in our own time, in God's own time, He will answer our prayer, you know. And so have faith in God. Finally, Jesus says, but do you have faith? If we have faith, God will answer us. If it's according to God's will, of course. You know, if we don't, if we pray things that is out of God's will, of course, God will not answer us. So this morning, you know, what my message is, keep praying to God for things that is in your heart. Whatever is it that you want. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. And God, He says, I will definitely answer. You ask, I will answer. You seek, and you will find. Not should, may find. You know, and you knock, it will be open. Keep knocking at God's heart. You know. And sometimes as Christians, we sort of give up hope. You know, because God doesn't seem. And when you feel, you know, that you don't like to come to church, that's the time you need to come to church. This has always been what I've been telling my member. If you don't, sometimes you don't feel like coming to church, isn't it? And but that is the time you need to come. You don't feel like, but you need to come because there may be a message that God wants you, you know, to listen through a song or through a word or through an encouragement. When you don't feel like reading God's word, that is the time you need to look at God's word. You know, you don't feel like. Maybe Satan, definitely Satan is the one that make you feel like not wanting to read God's word. But there may be a passage that God wants to encourage you. And we don't feel like praying, that is the time you need to pray. You don't feel like going to the CG, the care group, that is the time you need to go. Because there may be a sharing there that will encourage you. There may be an encouragement. See, Satan always put the negative things in our life. But God comes, give us positive things. So when you don't feel like doing things that you know God wants you to do, remember, that is the time you need to pray, need to come, you know, need to read God's word, need to have fellowship with brothers and sisters. And I hope that we'll continue to, you know, have more fellowship with the Lord to prayer so that God will continue to bless our lives. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for this message this morning. We know as Christians, we so often fail and spend less time with you. We spend more time doing many other things which are in itself are not that good or even the right things, Lord. But help us this morning, even as we look at this poor widow knocking at the doors of the unjust judge. And finally, he relented and helped her out. But how much more, God, you are our Heavenly Father. You will always give us the best. Maybe not in our own time, but in your time, Lord. So this morning, help us to continue to look to you. Spend more time in our quiet time. Small time in reading your word. Spend more time coming to the church prayer meeting and encouraging one another so that we know, Lord, that you will always be a God who answers our prayer and give us the best. In Jesus' name we pray all this. Amen. Amen.